that was put on the record.
Just to put on the record.
Put my remarks on the record.
You're on the record.
You're on the record with Atika Hurley. The Surfer is a new psychological thriller starring Nicolas Cage. Shot in Yalling Up, Western Australia, the film follows the story of a man who aims to reconnect with his past through purchasing his former family home. He is constantly reminiscing about his house that looks over the beach that he grew up surfing on before moving to America as a child. When he returns as a middle-aged man, he is faced with a group of aggressive local surfers who claim ownership over the waves, and it all gets a little bit crazy from there. The Surfer was directed by Lorcan Finnegan and produced by a plethora of names in the industry like Robert Connolly, James Grattison and Nicolas Cage. But Robert Pattinson was one of the executive producers on this film. He has an extensive career in the Australian record and film industry, with past projects being Blueback and Memoir of a Snail and many more we were just talking about. So good morning, Robert. Thank you for joining me on the record.
Good morning, Atika. Thank you for having me. Nice
to be here. We
nearly
missed our cue before.
Yes, we were just talking
too much. But before we get into The Surfer, could you tell us a bit about your background and what got you into the world of film?
That's a really good question. Look, very quickly, I had a long career in the music industry actually for many years, and studied music at uni and worked in record shops and got jobs at record labels and spent a very long time there, then ended up at the ABC, again working in music and a bunch of stuff. But throughout that, my best mate at uni, Robert Connolly, went on to become one of our great film directors and producers, and being best mates, we always sort of hung out over the years. And several years ago, he said, you know, would you be interested in coming and working together? And I thought, oh, that would be fun. And I hadn't ever been involved really in making films, although I'd had a lot to do with film music. And yeah, I joined Arena several years ago and got stuck into producing films. So I've led a sort of creative professional life, I suppose, throughout my career. And now working with Arena Media, we make great Australian independent cinema. So yeah, that was my nutshell journey to this point. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were just talking about some of the films that the company has worked on.
Yes.
So like The Dry.
Yes, The Dry and Blueback, and before that film called Paper Planes, yes, which some people might have seen when they were younger. And going way back, Rob's early films, Balabo, which is about the Indonesian invasion of East Timor and murder of the Australian journalists, and all the way through $3, The Bank, obviously. Yeah, then The Dry, Force of Nature, Blueback. Yeah, many, many great Aussie films that we've made.
And, a lot of Aussie landscapes.
All of them. Yeah. In fact, we don't really make... most of our films are about Australia, or mostly set in Australia, or at least Australia's part in the world, if you like. Mm. And The Surfer's kind of an interesting take on that too.
Yeah, and could you tell us a bit about your role in The Surfer? So what aspects of the project were you a part of, and what was the most important thing to you?
Yeah, look, well, Rob and I actually met with a great producer in the UK, Leonora Darby, whose sort of project it was. She brought it to us, given that we're an Australian production company, and she was looking for partners to help make the film. She'd originated the film, and it was that point that Rob and I decide as a company, do we want to do this? And when we thought, yeah, we read the script, thought this is really interesting. So then my role really kicks in helping build the finance for the film. How do we make it? How much does it cost? Where do we get the money from? And we moved to an Australian-Irish co-production, because the writer and director were Irish, and it's the first time we've done one of those. So it's the two countries, if you like, kind of make the film together. So my role was very much sort of setting that up and working through the structure of that. But being a small company, then we do a bit of everything. So I was on set every day. I'm helping, you know, not quite, you know, making the food, but I'm there really in all sorts of capacities, dealing with cast and crew, and importantly dealing with the local community as well and really connecting with them.
And what drew you to work on the project?
I think what was interesting, it was the outsider's view of Australia. You know, there's been some famous Australian films going back to things like Wake in Fright and even Walkabout, which were not made by Australian directors. And this idea in cinema of a stranger, if you like, comes into an environment and everything is not as it seems. There's a bit of a trope, lots of films we can think of like that. So I thought that was really interesting, the sort of take on it. And I think the other thing I found interesting was the sort of tribalism around pursuits like sport or surfing or whatever. And I hasten to add, I don't think this film really depicts necessarily what surfing and surf culture is like in Australia. I think the surfing elements of it are more metaphor for people who gather together and claim ownership of something and then want to keep everyone else out, you know, kind of idea. So the film was complex in its themes, and it was also the fact that the director was keen to make a psychological thriller, which we've never really made one of those, and so there were a lot of elements. And then of course the idea that Nicolas Cage would actually sign on to play the lead role was pretty wild, and sort of I can't imagine anyone not wanting to be part of that, so that was really the icing on the cake.
Obviously, apart from being Nicolas Cage, what suited him for the role, do you think?
Look, he's an incredible actor, and I'd obviously never met him before until this. He talks about this quite a bit, that he really loves supporting new voices in cinema. So he will, yes, he'll do lots of big films, but then he'll do sometimes first-time directors or really interesting independent filmmaker-type small-budget projects, which this was. So what drew him to it was Lorcan's previous work. Lorcan had made a couple of other films, Vivarium in particular. He liked the style of filmmaking. He liked the idea of doing an Australian film set in Australia. He had made a couple here before in Melbourne. But he is a real champion of independent cinema. And I think this film was either 113th or 114th film he had made when he arrived, which is an incredible statistic. So he's a real... He really... And he loves cinema. He's a cinephile. He knows all the great filmmakers. He's really into cinema. It just really tickled his fancy, and he committed. So, yeah, we got him to do it.
And I'm sure it was the first film he's maybe filmed in WA or in...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's done a couple in the East which were sort of American-style films set in America but made in Melbourne and blah, blah, blah. This is the first proper outdoors film set in Australia.
And what made Yalling Up the perfect location for the surf on?
Okay, so this is quite freaky. The screenwriter, Thomas Martin, Irish, had lived in Australia for off and on. A lot of Irish people come here and backpack and travel around. And so he sort of knew Australia. He didn't know Yalling Up or even Western Australia. Anyway, he wrote this script, and it describes a car park near a secluded beach overlooking a beautiful sort of surf break. And up behind the car park in the treetops are some sort of beautiful coastal homes that have kind of recently kind of been yuppified and so on in this little remote coastal place. And we did a recce up and down the coast. James Grandison, Perth-based producer, always thought Yalling Up could be the go. And we took the director there. This is some months before filming. And he couldn't believe that it was exactly what was described in the script, like exactly. And so the script was never modified to fit what Yalling Up looked like. It just coincidentally worked perfectly. So that was clearly the place. And also being one of the world's great surf areas and a very famous part of the planet for surfers, it everything fitted together perfectly.
Hearing the description, Lorcan's description, that just sounds like somewhere in WA.
I know. Yeah. And even the little lookout, you know, in the script, the surfer kind of goes from the car park and stands on a little sort of wooden lookout and looks down at the beach with his binoculars. That's all there. We didn't build any of that. And there's even a little toilet block at the car park, which is in the script. There's a lookout. The only thing we brought to that car park was the phone booth. There isn't really a phone booth there. We put one in there.
And there was the little coffee cart thing.
So, yeah, really, it's fantastic. And it's a very contained film in terms of it is all the action takes place sort of on the beach, around the beach, in the car park. It's in this very intense environment.
And wanted to touch on again that sort of alienation between, like, American culture and Australian culture in the film. And you kind of said it was, like, just representative of people gatekeeping stuff, pretty much. So do you think that some surf culture's kind of like how it is?
Maybe. I know a few surfers who were involved in the film Locals, and some even who saw it last night. We did some screenings down in Busselton at the Reading Cinemas down there. Yeah, some of them say, I definitely think it's quite as brutal as it gets in the film, but there is some, kind of territorial stuff that goes on. You know, people who've been surfing a certain spot, and sometimes they can get a little bit frustrated with the tourists or the weekend people who come, and it's all busy and they can't get a park and they can't get to the water, or there's too many people in the water. But as I said, you know, that is part of it, but it's not really a comment on surfing culture. It is more of a metaphor for the gathering of that. The other thing that's interesting about the surfers, or the gang of surfers, is that there's clearly lots more to their lives, insofar as they're not sort of hardcore. They live and surf every day and just work locally. They present like these sort of, I don't know, they might be business people or lawyers or whatever they are, and they then come together and behave in a, as I said, very tribally together, and they've got families, and it's all very 9-to-5 in the background. We never really see that side of them, but it's inferred that they have this other life and they behave kind of badly when they get together.
Yeah, would you say it kind of touches a bit on masculinity and toxic masculinity?
Yes,
because that's what the vibe was.
Oh, it does. It's funny, isn't it, the expression toxic masculinity, which I use a lot. I think the tide is turning against that term slightly, but it is very much in that realm. It's the there's a particular character played incredibly by Julian McMahon, the Australian actor, who's sort of like the leader of the gang, which is really like a cult.
Yeah.
And he's like a kind of, he's got like a, as the scenery shows, his little Instagram thing, he's sort of like a motivational speaker for men. Not quite as foul as like the Andrew Tate type characters, but it's in that realm of these guys who feel that privileged white males are somehow badly done by, which of course is a complete fiction. And so he sort of rallies his guys that we've got to really fight back, and so on. So it is tapping into that sense of people feeling disenfranchised for whatever reason, and then gravitating to a powerful voice that seems to sum up all their problems in a really nice kind of soundbitey way, and so then they follow that person, and he makes a great villain in the film. So it's really the film is in some ways a strong kind of two-hander between Julian McMahon and Nicolas Cage, with other really important satellite characters around those two guys. Yeah,
and I wanted to finish by asking, is Nick Cage a kook? Can he surf?
He can, and he did many, many years ago. He's a native Californian, so he can. And he had a few sort of brush-up lessons when we were doing it, and it came back, and, you know, he was up on the board and so on and so forth. You don't see really a lot of that in the film. The whole film is sort of about him being prevented from that.
Yeah, I was, like, waiting for it.
Yeah. No, he can actually. He surf. He hasn't done it for a while, but it came back to, he's very comfortable in the water. But what's incredible about him, apart from that he's the most professional actor you could ever meet, like, he was just so prepared, so generous, so friendly, but, you know, kept private to himself, did what he needed to do, really efficient. He was a real joy to work with, and takes it all very seriously. So yeah, he actually said, I'd love to have a few brush up surf lessons, and which he did in some of the sort of days off, just to sort of be ready. He said, you know, I want to be really comfortable. He hasn't surfed for a lot of years, even right down to holding the board the right way, and the kinds of things that show that this character really can surf and did surf as a young man. So, no, he was great. And in that way, he's super prepared. Every aspect of what he does, he's totally prepared for. So, yeah, incredible. Really lucky to have him down here. And he fell in love with the area and the beauty.
I
know. It was just, as did I. I'm from Sydney, and spending a few months, we sort of lived in Dunsborough and worked down in Yalling Up. It was just the most lovely part of the world.
Yeah, no, I heard about the production while it was being shot, and
yes,
I was so jealous, because there might have been a few students from our from ECU,
right,
kind of helping out around there,
yeah,
and So jealous.
No, it was quite the buzz the day he arrived, and he was driving down because he actually flew from Vegas to LA to Sydney, Sydney to Perth, and then 3 and a bit hours to whatever it is down to there. He was quite shattered, but he stopped in actually in Busselton. There's a little shop, Food of Asia. It's just a little Asian grocery store. I think he likes kimchi and his wife. Anyway, so they need to get some kimchi, as you do, and they called in there, and he had a photo with the owners, and I was just in Busselton last night, and I said to James, I've got to call into Food of Asia and say hello, and sure enough there's a big picture of Nicolas Cage buying his kimchi behind the register.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it's lovely. He really kind of, the community was abuzz when he came, and I think the whole state was, because, you know, he's a big star. I mean, there's been other big actors come to Perth, but he's just such a beloved actor by so many, you know, he's got a lot of fans, so it was lovely to have him here.
Well, Nick Cage likes kimchi from Busselton.
Correct. Good to know. Yes, get Food of Asia, get your kimchi there, yeah.
Well, thank you, Robert, for joining us in studio this morning and for making your way back from Busselton to be here in Mount Lawley.
Yes, last night, yeah, thank you. Yeah, and the film opens on this Thursday in cinemas around Perth and WA and the country, yeah.
Yeah, I'll link the screenings in today's episode description. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Atika, thank you.
That was Robert Patterson, the executive producer of The Surfer, joining me on the record for a chat about the movie. The film was shot in Yallingup and stars Nicolas Cage. So very interesting stuff I learned just then, like Nicolas Cage liking kimchi from Busselton. That one stood out to me a little bit. It is 10:45. You're on